It's Palm Sunday today, one more week until Resurrection Day. And on this day in the scriptures, it's a very special day. If you read the entire passage for the triumphal entry, it begins at Luke chapter 19, verse 28, and it goes all the way down to verse 44. We're going to read part of that today, which has to do directly with our message. We start today at verse 35. Verse 35, Luke chapter 19. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they sat Jesus on the donkey. As he went, many spread their clothes along the road. Then, as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. They were saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, saying, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." But he answered and said to them, "I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones will immediately cry out." Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Well, I read a story one time about a plainly dressed man who went into a church in the Netherlands. One Sunday, he took a seat near the pulpit. Very soon, a woman came along and curtly told the man he was seated in her pew. Then she asked him to leave her seat. Well, the man apologized and apparently moved away to a pew that was reserved for the poor, from where he took part in that service that day. When the service ended, a friend of the woman came over and asked her if she knew who it was that she had ordered out of her seat. The woman replied casually she didn't know who it was. To her great dismay, she was informed this person was King Oscar of Sweden. So many people turn what could be a life-changing moment into a negative situation because of our own crazy bad choices. How often do we hear statements such as, "You blew it," or "How could you mess up like that?" At other times when some special opportunity seems to be opening up for us, someone or something comes along to spoil the party. Well, today is Palm Sunday, which signifies the triumphal entry of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey. It was a day of celebration. That spirit of celebration was ringing loudly in the air throughout the city. However, in the midst of the joy and celebration, I notice three tragic situations that arose. These are all recorded for us in the scriptures. The first tragedy was that there were so many people unwilling to praise the Messiah as he entered town. Luke chapter 19, verse 39 tells us that. As we mentioned before, it was a day of celebration and joy on this triumphal entry. As Jesus rode into town, a very large crowd had gathered to give him a rousing welcome. They were praising him by shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." The whole city was stirred. We see praise beginning to arise as unto the Lord as follows. The people joyfully praised God in loud voices for the miracles they had seen. That's found in Luke 19. The children praised him in the temple, shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David," Matthew 21, 15. Even the stones were standing by to praise him if the people did not. That's Luke 19. However, in the midst of all of this praise, it's tragic to note there was a group of religious leaders who were callously unwilling to praise God. Luke and Matthew record that in chapters 19 in Luke and 21 in Matthew. Not only were they unwilling to praise the Lord as he came into town, they also tried to stop the children from doing so. Remember that one who is spiritually dead will spread death upon those who are around him. I bet you didn't know death is contagious. When you're talking about spiritual death, it very definitely is contagious. One who is spiritually dead can kill more people than one who is spiritually alive can bring people to life in a single day. Remember that death and life are both in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. That's according to Proverbs 18:21. And you know what? As I think about that, it's very true. You can destroy an entire forest in a single day by striking a match. That forest that took hundreds of years to grow to the magnificent glory that it was before that match burned it down. That's what death is all about. Life comes from Christ. Life is to be lived, and life is to protect itself from those who would cause premature death. There's a story about a pastor who was so discouraged in his ministry, he had decided to quit. He made that decision. But one thing he felt like he needed to do, he felt it was only right that he go back to the church where he had ministered for years one last time and give thanks to God for all God had done for him and through him through all those years. As he knelt to give thanks to God, he began to count his blessing through the years. Very soon, his heart and his voice were rising up in thanks and praising God. So much that after a while, his heart was so filled with praise, he began to wonder why he ever thought about quitting. He didn't quit. You see, that's the power of praise. And that's the power of remembering and counting your blessings to God. Whatever your circumstances, would you right now allow praise to rise up in your heart unto the Lord? I remember hearing a song many years ago that was sung by Russ Taff and the Imperials. It goes like this. When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord, for our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord, for the chains that seem to bind you serve only to remind you that they drop powerless behind you when you praise him. How true it is. Praise the Lord. Don't be defeated. Don't be like the scribes and the Pharisees and the religious leaders who were unwilling to praise the Messiah on his day on the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Don't miss your praise opportunity. Well, the second thing that happened that was tragic on the day of the triumphal entry was that the temple had to be cleansed. You know, when the temple has to be cleansed any time, that in and of itself is a travesty and a tragedy. Does your church need to be cleansed? Has evil crept into your church? When you have a business meeting, do you fuss and fight over dollar bills or what color to paint the walls or what color of carpet to put in the sanctuary? Or what color the cover of the hymn books should be? Do you fuss and fight over things that don't amount to a hill of beans? Or do you try to decide the best way to win people to Christ? Do you try to decide the best method that is the most efficient to help people who are hurting and help people who know the Lord. Well, the temple was the center of Jewish worship in the day that Christ came to the earth. It possibly had a majestic appearance. It should have been the most precious place for God's people. It should be that today in the church. However, as Jesus walked into town and looked around, what his keen eyes observed obviously made him sick to his stomach. His heart would have been broken at what he saw. According to Matthew 21 and Mark 11, the hallowed place of worship had been turned into a marketplace by crooks who were robbing and stealing from the people there inside the house of God. For just a moment, close your eyes. Try to imagine the feelings that were going through the heart of the Messiah at that moment. He was about to die for sinners who would accept him. He was about to die for those who would reject him, although it wouldn't do them any good because they would refuse. He was about to die for those who were mocking him and turning his father's house into a den of thieves, as he called it later, when he cleansed the temple. He knew he was going to have to resort to some drastic measure to clean that up, to clean up that house of prayer that had become a den of thieves. In fact, Mark 11:11 says Jesus did not cleanse the temple that day. Instead, he went to Bethany to spend the night there. I've often wondered why that happened. Well, the Bible doesn't tell us why he spent the night there and why he didn't cleanse the temple immediately. The only thing I can think of is that as a human being, Jesus Christ was sick at his stomach. And as a human being, he had difficulty facing it. Wouldn't you? You're a human being. Wouldn't you have difficulty facing a house of thieves that was once God's house of prayer? He did go into the temple the following day and he cleansed it inside out, and his anger was apparent as he walked through that building. Somebody said Christ never got mad. Let me tell you a little secret. When you deliberately disobey God and you turn God's house into a place of mockery, into a place that leads people to hell instead of leading people to heaven, do you think God doesn't get angry at you for that? Do you think God doesn't get mad when people not only deny him, but cause other people to stumble as a result of it? It's bad enough for you to make your bad decisions about God, much less when you let your bad decisions wreck someone else as they try to find the Lord. I'd like to make an application here that comes from this part of the story. It's this. The Bible says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's in 1 Corinthians 6:19. So it's good to ask ourselves prayerfully if we, our temple, that is, our bodies, that is, need to be cleansed. Many times when I come before the Lord in prayer, God will reveal to me areas in my own heart, in my own life, that need to be cleansed. I hope and pray it never gets as bad as that temple did in that day when Jesus became angry. But I can tell you there have been times when God's been mad at me because my sin was so deep, because I caused the death, spiritual death, of so many people. It's tragic when that happens, and God's heart is broken. But his anger against us does not last for long because his love for us never ceases. Did you know God loves you enough to die for you even when he's mad at you? He still loves you. Isn't that good? God loves you. He never stops loving you. But many times we make him sick at his stomach because of our sin. The third thing I want to mention today was that people on this day where Christ was coming into town, this triumphal entry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the third thing was, it was tragic that the people didn't recognize that this was God's time to fulfill the prophecy given to them by men of old. The prophecy of Old Testament days. The prophecy that said the Messiah would come, that he would redeem his people from their sin. Biblical prophecy was being fulfilled on the triumphal entry right before their eyes. We can make reference to Isaiah 62:11 that says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your Savior comes." Zechariah 9:9 says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Compare this to Luke 19:35. It says Jesus rode on a colt. Psalm 118:26, quoted by the crowd of disciples, was shown to us in 1938, the book of Luke. Many things about Jesus' triumphal entry clearly pointed to him as being the Messiah. Some of those were that he rode into the donkey, into town on the donkey, that symbolized royalty. That's from 1 Kings 1:33. Cloaks were spread out on the ground. That was a means of paying homage to royalty. 2 Kings 9:13. Palm branches were waved at the Lord, John 12:13. Then they were spread on the road in Matthew 21:8. Refer to these verses with Revelation 7:9, where a great multitude is seen holding palm branches before the Lamb of God. Jesus rode in on an unusual animal, a donkey, Luke 19:30, and refer back to the Old Testament to 1 Samuel 6:7, and you will see what that's all about. Sadly, even with all of those signs around them, those people didn't get it. As a result, in Luke 19:41 through 44, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He referred prophetically to its future destruction. He also spoke of the painful and prophetic words of Luke 19:42 through 44. "If you, even you, had only known on this day what it would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." Oh, how tragic it is. I wonder whether it's the same with mankind today. I think we could all agree that it is. The time of the second coming is close at hand. But do you see it? Is the world really seeing it? People talk about it all the time. "Oh, Lord, come quickly. I want you to come and deliver us from this horrible situation we're in," not even realizing what we're going through is prophecy. God said we would go through these evil days, and we're going through them. Today is the day to trust the Lord. The story was told of a man who lived in a thatch-roofed house on a top of a tall hill that overlooked the beach and the ocean. Most of his family and friends this particular day were in the lowlands near the beach in the tending to their gardens, while this single man alone was at home on the hilltop tending to a sick wife as he stayed there with her. The man on the mountain looked out and noticed an incredible tidal wave, a tsunami, was headed for the island. He was terrified. He knew his family and his friends in the lowlands wouldn't see the huge tidal wave in time to come up the hill to safety. They would drown as this tsunami made landfall. And so the man drug his wife out of the house and set fire to his beloved home in hopes that the villagers would see the smoke in time to come running up the hill. His plan worked. He lost everything he owned in that home, but everybody who was on the beach was saved because everybody on the beach saw the fire and ran up the hill to help put that fire out. This man's single act of selflessness and heroism saved over 100 lives that day, including his beloved son and his son's wife, who were able to escape to safety in the wake of the tsunami. It's vital that each one of us be ready for the second coming of Christ. It's vital on this day as we celebrate the triumphal entry into Jerusalem that we be ready for what's ahead of us right now. It's obvious from the message today that this country, this world was not even prepared for the first coming of the Lord, and it appears to be much worse nowadays regarding the second coming of the Lord. This story I'm about to relate will tell the truth as to where our world is today in regards to his second coming. There once was a spider who lived in a cornfield. She was a big spider. She had spun a huge and beautiful web between the corn stalks. She got so fat eating all the bugs that would get caught in her enormous web. She loved her home and the web, and she loved living her life as a spider. One day, the spider caught a little bug in her web, who looked over at the spider and had mercy on her, and he said to her, "If you let me go, I'll tell you something important that will save your life." Spider paused for a moment and listened because she was amused by what the bug had to say. "You'd better get out of this cornfield," the little bug said. "The harvest is coming." The spider smiled and said, "What is this harvest you're talking about? I think you're just telling me a story. You just want me to spare you and tear down my web so I can spare all your little bug friends." The bug looked back at the spider and said, "Oh no, it's true. The owner of this field is coming to harvest it very soon. All the stalks will be knocked down. All the corn will be gathered up. You'll be killed by those giant machines if you stay here." Spider said to the bug, "I don't believe in harvest and giant machines that knock down the corn stalks. How can you prove this?" The little bug continued, "Just look at the corn. Look how it's planted in rows. It proves the field was created by an intelligent designer." The spider laughed and mocked the bug, saying, "This field has evolved and has nothing to do with a creator. Corn always grows that way." The bug went on to explain, "Oh, no, it doesn't. This corn belongs to the owner who planted it in a row. The harvest is coming." The spider grinned and said to the little bug, "I don't believe you." And then the spider ate the little bug for lunch. A few days later, the spider was laughing about the story the little bug had shared with her. She thought to herself, "A harvest indeed, what a silly idea. I've lived here all my life and nothing has ever disturbed me. I've been here since these stalks were just a foot off the ground, and I'll be here for the rest of my life because nothing is ever going to change in this field. Life is good. I have arrived." Well, the next day was a beautiful sunny day in the cornfield, and she was catching bugs. The sky above was clear. There was no wind at all. That afternoon, as the spider was about to take a nap after her lunch on a nice big fat bug, she noticed some thick, dusty clouds moving toward her. She could hear the roar of a great engine, and she said to herself, "I wonder what that could be." She found out. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait until it's too late. Don't find out after the trumpet has sounded. Give your heart and your life to Christ right now. This is the day of salvation. Today, you have this opportunity. I can't guarantee you'll have another one, even this afternoon, with the harvest on the way.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't Himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done.
To say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.